If you will, turn into your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. The first three verses, it reads, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." And John wrote this book and the other two, these last letters by John, to encourage the faithful Christians to remain true to Christ in the face of a lot of the false teachings of Gnosticism. Gnosticism is the combination of Christianity with other religions, and it was becoming a very serious problem. John's letters encourages Christians to keep God's commandments, to be faithful to the Lord. And in encouraging the faithful, John cannot help but explain what a truly wonderful blessing it is to be a child of God. It is, in fact, the great demonstration of God's love that we are called God's children. And as a result of this wonderful relationship, we as Christians have some tremendous blessings. To be a child of God is to have the blessing of forgiveness. One of the most important things that a father must know is forgiveness. From the youngest to the oldest, children constantly make mistakes that sometimes upset their fathers, sometimes even offends them. But good fathers know how to forgive their children, and good fathers will continue to raise their children appropriately. Moreover, we forgive our children even when they don't even know they're doing something wrong. How many times as parents, as fathers, and even mothers, have we corrected our children when they seem to be ungrateful, or when they seem to be selfish or disobedient? You know, oftentimes we take it in stride. Our Father in heaven is a good Father. In James 1 and verse 17, James, he writes, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, and neither shadow of turning." See, God's not going to change his mind. God's not going to change his heart. It's always the same with God, as it should be even with earthly fathers. It should always be the same. Jesus in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11, Jesus here in talking to the multitudes, he said here, "If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" Do we look at today, of all the blessings that we have? You know, last week we celebrated a Thanksgiving holiday we do every year, and oftentimes people will sit around the table and they will share something that they are thankful for, some blessings that they've had. And we receive these 365 days a year, and oftentimes without acknowledging the one who granted those blessings to us. How much more will God practice forgiveness toward his children. The scriptures say this in Psalms 86 and verse 5, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 9, Daniel said, "To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him." And in 1 John 1 and verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." When we sit and we look at the blessings we have, it truly is a blessing to be children of God, and that we have that forgiveness of our sins. We sang the song just a little bit ago, God's Family. I remember the first time we sang that song, at least Vicki and I and Katie and our son Vince at North Charleston. And I really enjoy the words tremendously, and it really brings things home as far as who we truly are as a family. You know, we've been blessed twice in life. Blessed with our earthly families and blessed with our church families. You can't get more blessed than that. To be a child of God is to have the blessing of family. To have a father like God as the head of our family. Good fathers are faithful to their families. A good father provides for his family. A good father is faithful to his family. He will defend his family. He will promote peace and harmony among his family. And it is truly great to be child in the family of a good father. God's family is the church. In 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, Paul writing here, he said, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." In Hebrews 3 and verse 6, Paul writes here, "But Christ as Son over his own house, whose house we are." If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the Lord. God has been faithful to his family, the church. The church is the place of the saved. Acts 2 and verse 47, it says that they, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added daily to the church as such as should be saved. In Acts 20 and verse 28, Paul, there at Ephesus, speaking to the elders in Ephesus, he said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and then to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood." It is God who gives the church direction through Christ. Paul in Ephesians 1 and verse 22, it reads, "And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church." Our Heavenly Father desires to keep the church pure. In Ephesians 5 and verse 27, Paul writes that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Have we thought on a daily basis of how much God nourishes and cherishes us as his family? "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh," Paul writes in Ephesians 5:29, "but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church." When we sit down at night and we say our prayers and we thank God for the blessings, don't forget the family. Don't forget God's family. It is a blessing to have a good father in and of itself. A good father desires to have a personal relationship with their children. Good fathers want that which is good for their children. Good fathers will discipline their children. And good fathers teach the virtue of work for their children. They provide wholesome recreation and they teach their children. You know, sadly, because we are human beings, not every child has the benefit of having a father that meets these guidelines or that has these attributes. And that truly is sad. But many more are very fortunate to have earthly fathers just like this. Vicki and I both have been blessed with having fathers like this, who cared for us and was concerned about us and looked after us. But there's no father ever like God. Paul in Romans 8 and verse 15, Paul said, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." The spirit of adoption. Now we go out and we look at and see all these children who are living in foster care or those who are orphans and they're living in homes and things like this, and every so often someone will be allowed to adopt. And it is a glorious thing when someone is willing to open their homes, to take a strange child in, to nurture that child and raise them as their own. We don't always know what manner of child we will have in the adoption process. When God adopts us, He knows what manner of child we are when we come to Him, because we made the choice to be obedient unto Him and to obey His commands. Regardless of what life we led up to that point, God has adopted us. He now considers us His children. We are fellow heirs. In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 18, Paul said, "And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." When we go back to the Beatitudes, we see that we have the blessing of talking to our Father. Jesus in Matthew 6, Jesus was giving the example of prayer. And the disciples were concerned and the followers and they didn't know how to pray. And Jesus was teaching them. But in His prayer, Jesus started out very interesting in verse 9. He said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Now, Jesus didn't say, "I want you to repeat this prayer, but use this in the manner likewise." We gave honor and glory to God the Father. But in verse 32, you'll also notice that God knows what our personal needs are. "For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things." God also shows mercy to His children. In Luke 6, verse 36, Jesus said, "Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful." When we look at mankind today, when we look at mankind through all the generations down to the very beginning of creation. If we wanted to be truly honest about the only thing man really deserved was death and total destruction. God was merciful. And while we can read in Genesis 6 where God regretted making man, he did find 8 souls that pleased him. And he was merciful. God seeks his children to worship him in spirit and truth. In John 4, verse 23, but the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. So many in the religious world today look at today as filling a square, checking a box, doing my due diligence, showing up on the first day of the week and worshiping God. I was there. That's not what God is seeking. God is seeking those like us here this evening, those who were here this morning, that truly want to be here because we want to worship him. Worship him. And he knows that. We're not here to fill the square. God teaches, and John teaches us in John 6, verse 32, verily, verily, I say unto them, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you true bread from heaven. Oftentimes we're looking at filling our stomachs instead of filling our hearts. We open up God's word and we are fed morning, noon, and night. The cup overflows. In John 10 and verse 29, Jesus said, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So God protects us. God is keeping us safe. No man can pluck us out of God's hand. No man can take us away from God. Now, that doesn't mean we can't take ourselves away. We can pull ourselves away from God, but no one else can, unless we allow it. You know, we go back to the lesson of this morning. Blaming somebody else for the things that we do. As Adam and Eve. As Aaron. In Exodus 28. And we see all those who shifted the blame on someone else to cover their own things. But there is nothing that man can make us do unless we also do it ourselves. But when we are wrong, we must understand that God will discipline his children. Paul in Hebrews 12 and verses 6 and 7, he said, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. And if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? If you are like me in the littlest bit of sin, I don't like being corrected. I don't like being chastened. But when a brother or sister in Christ or my wife or my children or anyone else, when they come to me and reprove me of something, it's not because they hate me. It's because they love me. And that is the spirit in which I should receive it. I didn't like being corrected by my father, but there were definite benefits. I didn't like correcting my children. Katie, of which was the easiest, you only had to give her the look. That's all it took. Her son was a little bit harder. But I think, and I think Vicki does too, I have great children. When God corrects us through His Word, He's not doing it because He's mean. He's not doing it because He's being spiteful and hateful. He's doing it because He loves us. He wants us in heaven with Him for eternity. And finally, we have Felicity. A good father desires his children to be truly happy. Good fathers provide food and shelter and clothing. They want their children to have the good life. And fathers will even at times provide for their children's amusement. Good fathers reward their children for the good things they do. And this can certainly be said of God. In John 15 and verses 10 and 11, Jesus said, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." They mentioned this morning about people up in the Black Mountain area and every that people are happy. They might only be happy because they've got a lot of things, but how deep is that happiness? With God, that happiness knows no bounds. We have joy that overflows. God wants us to be saved so that we can be happy. Not only here on this earth, but also in eternity. Jesus in Luke 12, verse 32, he said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." That's what God wants. And if mankind could understand it, wouldn't this be a wonderful place to live? That's God's ultimate aim, that we can all have the kingdom. God also provides for the resurrection of the dead. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quicketh whom he will. Because of our human nature, we only look a little ways down the road. We try not to go too much further than we can think and plan. But God sees around the curve. God can see beyond the headlights. God knows where we're headed. There's a fork in the road in life. You can't be Yogi Bear when you come to the fork and just take it. No, you're going to have to go left or right. That's a choice that we have to make. In John 14 and verse 2, Jesus said that in his Father's house are many mansions and that he goes to prepare a place for us, his children. See, God sees down the road a lot further than we can. And that is His desire. He wants us to live eternally. And it is truly a blessing to know that our Father in heaven desires our happiness. Where is your happiness and joy today? Is it in the Lord? On the surface, you might be happy with your life. But deep down inside, how much joy is there? Do you know what your future is going to bring? If you are in the Lord and you're faithful, you definitely know where your future's at. And you have eternity ahead of you, living with the Father that loves you dearly. If you are not a child of God, we want to give you an opportunity tonight to obey the gospel, to make the decision tonight to repent of your sins, to confess Christ as the Son of God, and to be baptized for the remission of sins. It is our desire, it is also, more importantly, God's desire that you come to that conclusion. He wants you. He wants you very bad. He does not want anyone to perish, but he wants all to come to repentance and to be saved. Maybe you are a child of God. Maybe you haven't been living the way you should. You need, in a public way, to make a confession to God and ask for forgiveness. We want to give you that opportunity also. If anyone has a need, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.